C1G.
Number 13A.
We continue with our 7 days of creation and their subtones, and I think with taking the first and second day through their subtones, you more or less have seen the method, how you have to reason it out, so that perhaps now we can flow a bit quicker than with the first 2 days. So we come to the third day. What have we said? What we have to ask first? First we have to ask, what prerequisites does the third day have to give so that the fourth day stands on solid ground? What is that fourth day? And we know that that fourth day is the day of government, it's the day of system, but, and that's interesting, it's not just a system like in any other sciences, like for instance in mathematics or in physics. It is a system that must live, or else it is not an ontological system. It's not the system of life. And insofar we can see that in order that the fourth day can give us the system of life, we must have identities that are immortal. Identities, soul, that are immortal, life. Therefore, the third day must lead thought up to the point of life, or we have nothing to build on as a system of life in the fourth day. Can you see that? Very easy if you reason it out logically. So the third day has five subtones: mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, and then it ends there. So it must bring up the whole subject up to the tone of life. Therefore, we must consider what are the identities that have life, what are the identities of being, and we would see from the point of view of soul as mind. Soul would say, I produce ideas that have identity. That was the dry land. Then spirit says, and these ideas that have identities have what kind of identities? They have spiritual identity, identity of spiritual nature. There we have soul as spirit. Spirit duly feeds and closes every idea as it appears in the line of spiritual creation. You can see that spirit gives to all the identities of being spiritual qualities, spiritual nature. Those identities, in order that they are immortal, must be reproducing and self-reproducing. So soul as soul was telling us about that it has a seed within itself, that it is ever appearing, and you get the sense of soul as soul, that these identities that are ideas, and these ideas are spiritual and close with spiritual qualities, have a sense or have within themselves the power of reproduction, so that they never change, so that they are not dying. And then also at the point of soul as principle, it is shown that these identities are not just isolated identities without any gender, that they have a gender, that they belong to a classification so that they can be classified properly. And then soul as life shows that these identities that are properly classified are immortal. We have had in that last tone that symbol of Jesus that was through his resurrection soul proving to the students the tone of life, that life is eternal. So soul and life. At this point, we can really see then we have our elements with which principle then can work. A principle always must work with clearly defined identities, or else principle cannot work if the identities, the elements, are not clearly defined. Through that third day or stage, really the identities are clearly defined and are eternal. That would be the third day. And you can see it doesn't need more than just these subtones. So actually we can see that only then, when we have identities of being, identities that are eternally what they are, that only then we can really form an ontological system. And that because it is a system of ontology, is a system of life, is a system of living, and that has to do not with a dead system like in mathematics with numbers. They are dead, they can't do a thing. We go to the next day, to the fourth day of creation. That fourth day of creation again must be the prerequisites and gives the prerequisites for the fifth day. So we have to ask, what is the fifth day? That fifth day we know is the day of life, the day of the living creatures, and therefore we must give the foundation for this science of life, and that is in the fourth day. That science of life of the fifth day must have a principle on which it rests, and so the fourth day gives us that sense of an ontological system. Therefore, the answer is that the fourth day must give us a living system and not a dead system. Therefore, that fourth day is shown again through the subtones from mind going up to life until the system principle is alive, life. And we have seen how the fourth day builds up that consciousness. It says, as principle as mind, it says what? You know, it's the symbol of the stars, of the lights, the greater star, the lesser, and let there be light. Now, that's much more defined, that first tone of principle and mind is, let there be lights in the firmament, and that they should be for signs and seasons and days and years, you know. That was the tone, showing therefore, in order to have the fifth day, a living science, we must first start out to see in principle as mind that there must be a system of ideas. That we don't just have ideas, let there be lights, but that these lights must be related and interrelated as a system. So we get the relationship principle of ideas, mind. Then in order that it is a living science, spirit comes in and says at the point of principle as spirit that this system can be understood and demonstrated, that it is understandable because it reflects itself on the earth. So it gives light on the earth, it gives light on our understanding. Because a science would never live except it would be in our understanding, a science of life. Then, principle as soul said, and this science which is built in mind on relationship of ideas that in spirit can be understood and demonstrated, shows how it can be demonstrated, namely through the rule of soul, namely so that the principle begins to rule everything, and we have the greater controlling the lesser there, so it begins to rule, to bring out the harmony of principle. Then it says, but that principle must be a principle of all, not only just of something, must be the principle of everything. So it says, at the point of principle, you can interpret everything in that light of principle. Brings out there that that all can be interpreted by this very principle or system. And finally, the subtone of life, that if everything can be interpreted on the basis of that system, then it means that that system must be pliable, must be adaptable, therefore it must be individualized, that it is so that it can be restructured, so that the individual situation is constantly bringing out a newness of that principle. Just as in mathematics, through the principle, you always can bring out a new calculation and a new calculation and a new result, and so make the one principle infinitely individualized. And that was what was shown there, that that principle is so that it can restructure itself and form periods of progress. Infinite progression is concrete being. And you have a terrific sense that principle is, that the principle of ontology is a principle that is constantly alive and constantly bringing forth the newness of life. So then we know at that point really that we have an ever new expression of that principle. And that that new expression is a living expression, is not just a dead system, it's just not spinning your wheels. I think that's an expression you have, that it's just doing nothing, but that it is actually bringing forth the experience of life. Yes? So in this way we have really the foundation for the fifth day. For the fifth day of life, you see, now we can really see, now we can see that there is life and that there is infinite life and that there is the infinite individuality and multiplication of life, etc., so that we touch the fifth day. But what must the fifth day show or contain in order that it is a secure foundation for the sixth day? What is the sixth day? We have seen the sixth day is the day of consciousness, of a whole and perfect consciousness. So, what kind of a science of life do we have that we can take it in into consciousness and have within consciousness a workable science of life? So life, the fifth day, must naturally be brought up to the point where it is shown as a science, or else we cannot take it in as a scientific consciousness, else we would just be entertaining a few isolated ideas in consciousness, and consciousness would wander, would not be scientific, would not be systematic, would not be ordered. So in order that that consciousness of the science of life or of life actually needs, that life must be presented as a science. Well, science is always symbolized through the term principle. And so the fifth day must present life up to the point of principle as science. What do we see here? Actually, now we can go out, you see, from the fact what has been established in principle, and we can say, all right, what kind of life have we in the science of life, in an ontological concept of science, what kind of life have we? And we have seen life, as mind has said, it is actually a science that has nothing to do with thoughts. They are not definite enough. Therefore, you have to rise above the earth into the open firmament of heaven, into the realm of ideas. And we see in that fifth day constantly that soaring above the limited sense, and says, we have in mind to soar above thoughts into the realm of metaphysical ideas, so that now we have a realm of ideas. Then you remember that life, as spirit, says that these ideas must have all the qualities of spirit. They should be whales as big with idea as possible. Each idea has all the qualities that spirit has divine nature, and therefore every individuality, every soaring thought that rises above the limitation of the earth and sees that we have to do with ideas, we can give to these ideas the qualities of spirit in an unlimited way, without any restrictions. If that realm has no restriction, no limitation, for instance, then we can see that there is no end to the multiplication of ideas. No end to it. And therefore, life as soul speaks all about the multiplication of life. That the waters bring forth the fish abundantly, that they multiply, and one gets a terrific sense that in life there is no end to it, the abundance of life, the multiplication of life, the spontaneity of life, the newness of life, etc., 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 just no limit to it. But that is not quite enough, because it has only up to this point shown that life is of the nature of ideas, that these ideas have all the spiritual qualities, that they are roaming in the realm of limitlessness and therefore bring forth multitudinous and abundance of life. They are not yet chained into a science and to a system, and so principle must come along too and say, well, life must have a system, must have a science. And so we find there in life as principle, which we have taken a bit quickly when we went through them, we have seen there that she says that it must be divine science, must become its interpreter, it must therefore be gathered into a scientific way of life, into the science of life, so that divine science becomes its interpreter. So life is not just living, not just going along somehow with the flow of life, with the stream of life, but it is a science, life as principle. And so it is giving us the foundation for the sixth day, namely, that we have now a science that we can comprise in consciousness. Well, was that as easy as this morning? Well, I hope so. You know, somebody gave me a nice card that is just applicable to this situation. It says, you reach me just in time. I was beginning to feel confident again. So many said to me after the last hour, well, it's it's quite understandable. I feel I go along with it, so I hope this doesn't apply now. All right. So we have laid the foundation for the sixth day, see? And now we come to the sixth day and say, what must the sixth day contain in order that it is the prerequisite for the seventh day? And we have seen the seventh day is the day of perfection, the day of fulfillment, of allness, of the totality, of the wholeness of being, of peace and rest. So it must be a therefore, in order to have that seventh day, the prerequisite is that our consciousness must first come to the point where it finds fulfillment. And in order that our consciousness first finds fulfillment and peace and rest, it means that it must come up to the point of love, naturally, because love is fulfillment and perfection and peace and rest. So in the sixth day, we will see that the sixth day has seven subtones for the first time, and you can easily see why, because the divine consciousness must embrace and contain all, and nothing must be left out. Therefore, the sixth day must give us the method of how to build up a consciousness of wholeness. And how have we seen how the sixth day builds up that consciousness of wholeness? It says, through the seventh subtone, it says first, well, that truth as mind must conceive only ideas. Mind, the synonymous term, must conceive of only ideas. Truth as spirit says that these ideas must be conceived as being spiritual qualities, and not just ideas, but that they are qualities that are always good, because all of God's creatures are harmless and good, and so they must be seen as good. Spirit is good. That consciousness of truth at the point of soul must be conscious, therefore, of the whole identical nature of God, the image and likeness of God. It's at the point, let us make man in our image and likeness. So consciousness takes in at the point of soul that it is identified wholly, that everything is identified wholly with God. It's the image and likeness of God. If we have that, then again we need some kind of a principle that brings some kind of a classification into this consciousness. And so truth as principle was showing us really that generic man, that one ideal man comprises within itself the categories of the male and female, men and women he created it, and she goes on and shows that actually that ideal is of the nature of truth, the man, and of life and love, the woman, and therefore bringing in the triply divine person, God, as the principle of being life, truth, and love. This consciousness must be further developed to the point of life, where it begins to see that with that principled attitude, with that generic attitude, with that principled attitude, we must see actually that we can rule over the earth and heaven. And you get the Son of Man there, that man was given dominion over everything. Then truth as truth said, and having dominion over everything, it actually sees that everything is just one great brotherhood of ideas, each idea supporting each other idea, each idea maintaining the other idea, each idea affirming each other idea, each idea cherishing, welcoming, smothering, welcoming every other idea. There is just one compound idea called the universe. And at that point, we say, but who and what is that which is conscious of this compound idea? It's really the womanhood sense within us, the perfect sense within us. And we come to truth as love, which says that consciousness of truth just takes in the whole universe as a finished universe, as a fulfilled universe, where woman is always able to embrace the whole of man and mankind, the compound idea. So we not only see as truth that being is a compound idea, but at the point of truth and love we see that we can have that consciousness of woman that can embrace this compound idea. And in this way we have everything embraced, and therefore there is nothing outside, therefore there is no more any opposition, there is no more any duality, and we find our inward peace and rest. Which brings us to the seventh day of creation. And there you could say, well, the seventh day of creation cannot be a prerequisite because there is no eighth day. And there I think we can introduce an idea that we have not yet touched upon, that there is an eighth day, that there can be an eighth day. And it is actually so that Jewish apocalyptic literature always were speaking of an eighth day. And that eighth day was a symbol for timelessness, for eternity. And you can see what that eighth day is. We come again to the glory of eternity, which we had right at the beginning of the chapter, where time is eclipsed and where the idea of eternity and the glory of eternity is the idea that is central.